Track 7. London Landmarks. This month, we have another in our London Landmark series. Penelope Littleton, Viscountess Cobham, or just Lady Cobham, is going to talk about Wimbledon.
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I love London so. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I think of her.
My name is Lady Cobham, and I'm chairman of Visit England, the country's national tourist board, and I have chosen Wimbledon as my place to talk about. The Championships Wimbledon is the oldest tennis tournament in the world. It's synonymous with tennis. No one uses the full name, just like the Open in golf. To the world, Wimbledon means just one thing. The walk to the All England Lawn Tennis Club is through the quietly civilised villas of Wimbledon, 15 minutes from Southfields Tube Station, or 20 from Wimbledon Tube, past neatly manicured parks and golf courses, to arrive at the club set within a 44-acre site. The club is enclosed by high railings with gates round the perimeter. It's dominated in the middle by huge dull green structures of the two iconic show courts, with the neat rows of outside courts to the south of the centre court and the broad grassy terraces of Henman Hill rising up to the north of court number one. All these are interspersed with paths, some through rose-covered pergolas and walls topped with flowers. There are pavilions for eating and congregating, alongside little formal gardens and fountains, as well as the splashing water as it flows down the concrete channel from the water gardens at the top of Henman Hill. There are flowers everywhere, matching the distinctive green and purple club colours. The ethos of the championships is tennis in an English garden. And the carpet of reddish-green Boston creeper that spreads across the walls of the courts adds to the intimacy and softens the edges, contributing to the impression that this is a local, if rather prestigious, tennis club with ties and responsibilities to its surrounding community that just happens to hold the most important tennis championships in the world for 2 weeks every year. It's the only one of the four Grand Slam tournaments to be played on grass. That's very special. It demands a different technique and sounds very different from games played on other surfaces. The game's better and more interesting, with less baseline play. The imposing centre court rises up straight ahead on entering gate 3 on the east of the site. The famous front entrance of the court, with a balcony where the winners appear, is covered with Boston creeper. As the court has grown, its outside walls are expanses of modernistic plate glass, fronting offices, areas for the athletes and club members. Though the court holds 15,000, it retains a very intimate feel, with banks of dark green seats reaching right down to the edges of the court. When it's empty, there's a hush about the court. Maybe it's all those great matches that have seeped into our consciousness, and visitors tend to automatically speak in hushed tones, quite a contrast to the cauldron of noise it becomes for the big matches. The heavy white structure of the newly retractable roof, which was first used in 2009, sits at one end, on the top of the green roof that encircles the arena. That's a great investment for the future and for visitors. Wimbledon moves with the times, but tradition is still very important. The royal patronage, strawberries and cream for the visitors, and the strict dress code of white for the players. A small bronze statue of one of Wimbledon's and tennis's great heroes, Fred Perry, stands on a white plinth beneath the outer walls on the east side of Centre Court. In fact, his ashes are buried beneath. The circular number one court is divided from Centre Court by a row of courts. It's almost as large, seating 11,000, and is constructed in much the same way, with banks of seats reaching down to court level and a green roof above the seats. Rising up alongside is Henman's Hill, or perhaps these days, Murray Mound, where large crowds watch the matches on a big screen. It's a great thing and it means lots more people can join in the matches. It seems to have grown up almost spontaneously with Tim and then Andy's success. Wimbledon has become a little more populist, at the same time keeping its distinctive feel. That's the challenge, to move forward and react to changes without diluting or spoiling the essential brand. The neat rows of emerald green outside courts stretch alongside the centre court and in between the two show courts. There are 19 grass courts in all. A couple of courts have been enlarged. Banks of seats rise up around number 3 near centre court. And further away, in court number 2, the court and the seating have been sunk down so as not to impede the outlooks of the houses around the club. One of the pleasures is to be able to go from the show courts with their reserved seats and wander around the outside courts and settle to watch any match. One can often find a very good match. Another recent addition is the museum, set in the outside walls between gates 3 and 4, so now people can visit the club through the year. I've been lucky enough to have known Wimbledon from a very early age, as my mother played there. In fact, in 1939, when she was 16, she won a competition and the prize was a year's tuition at the foremost centre in Scandinavia, but the war intervened. After the war, she qualified for Wimbledon. She played tennis and squash for the Great Britain team. So my earliest memories are of tennis. In those days, the rackets were made of wood and my mother's tennis clothes were designed by Fred Perry. As I grew up, I paid many visits to the championships, including working selling ice creams. On one occasion, my friend and I received a note from the great player Arthur Ashe, asking us not to shout so loud, as it was putting him off. Before the show courts were remodelled, it was possible to slip into centre court and stand to watch the match. Now I'm lucky enough to watch some great matches. You can't overestimate the appeal of Wimbledon. It's of such importance, not just to Londoners, but people from all over the country. The many tickets are distributed through the county organisations, so the audiences and the line judges come from the tennis network across the country. It's regarded by most as the most important tournament in the world. Obviously, those of us who live here would think that. But you only have to listen to the endorsements of the great overseas players. And its appeal crosses all ages, whether people have played the game or not. It's very special in the evenings as the matches carry on till the light goes. For some reason, those evening games are often the most exciting, and all over the country, people coming home from work can enjoy the tennis as well. Wimbledon is very proactive and keeps the international profile high. But as well as all the high-profile tennis, the club has strong links with local schools and holds a tournament every year for the children of all the surrounding schools. Though British players haven't had the greatest success at Wimbledon for many years, its appeal is universal and enduring. However, as Andy Murray has now won the US Open, perhaps we're entering a new age of British tennis. Just like for so many other British people, Wimbledon will have a special place in my heart for the rest of my days.
Thank you, Lady Cobham. I'm sure many of our listeners will be following events at Wimbledon in the next few weeks.